Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me again, my guy, Fred Katz. I call the last podcast our pump fake pod for all Wizards fans that were hoping to hear some Wizards content. You're going to get that today. We are going to talk about the Wizards, I promise. Fred, how's it going, man?
I'm just ready to talk about the Lakers.
Let's talk about the Lakers. Let's just do the Dwight Howard story now. Which actually might be more interesting than just about anything else we could talk about.
Might be. Well, that's Wizards adjacent.
It is. Yeah, he was.
Dwight Howard Wizard. played 9 games with the Wizards. It was an epic nine games.
It was.
Got traded for CJ Miles. It was a big day.
Wow. So this Wizards roster has changed quite a bit. Still centered around Bradley Beal, who, I don't know, the guy's hell-bent on being a Wizard, which is that, I mean, I don't think it's surprising to you. I think it continues to be a little surprising to most NBA fans. Do you think that he just is going to be a Wizard, or do you think, like, all these talks about him, you know, being a Celtic or whatever, like, is that ever going to come to fruition, or is he just going to try to make it happen in Washington?
So far, it seems like he's going to try to make it happen in Washington. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't. It's funny. People ask me about Beal and what I think he's going to do. All I can really do is say how I believe, or I've been told he feels now, and kind of where they're at with the organization now. I mean, as of now, he hasn't expressed a desire to leave. There was all the drama of him mulling his future. And he did mull it, as he oft does. And it didn't lead with him asking out. I think when people hear so-and-so is thinking about his future, the first thing that comes to their mind is, oh, well, that's the first step to asking out.
Yep.
I think we live in a cynical society. And I don't think that's a bold claim. It's also the first step to deciding, you know what, I'd like to stay.
Yeah.
And I think that's at least what's happened with Beal for now. He has said for a little while now that he would rather, basically that he would rather win in D.C. than win elsewhere. But he also wants to win in D.C. He also hasn't really defined what winning is to him. I don't really know what is winning enough to where he can say, I'm winning. They went 34 and 38 last year. I can't imagine losing more than you win is winning. That said, I spoke to some people who were in the locker room after their loss to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. They lost in 5 games. Beal got up in front of the team, and he spoke to them. And apparently, it was like a very, very positive vibe speech for a team that just lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Interesting.
And he talked to them about how encouraged he was from the season. They started off 17 and 32. When they come back, they win 17 of their last 23. And he talked about how there was no drama to this team, which I think is big for him. He's a very kind of all business kind of worker. And there's been drama with the Wizards before, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah.
So he talked about how this year was kind of a no drama sort of year for them, and how important
no one's
that
pooping
was
in
for
shoes
him.
This year.
No one's pooping in shoes. That's good. Really an epic story. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's just been so much drama in the past that what he meant was they're just desensitized to drama. Maybe everyone's pooping in shoes.
Yeah.
And it's just removed the shock value of pooping in shoes.
Oh, man. So it's interesting because it went from being a team that everyone thought was going to be like, oh, Wall and Beal, you know, for life, right? And then it becomes this Westbrook Beal. So like this co-star. And now it's, we have taken the co-star and we have split him into multiple players. Well, like one of the big problems with the Wizards last year is just their depth. Like they were just playing guys that probably had no business playing big minutes in the NBA. And now they find themselves in a position where they have lots of guys. And now you're like, oh man, where's Denny Avdia playing? Like where are the minutes, like big minutes for Davis Bertans for his contract to make sense? And like, does Rui Hachimura have the room to grow and play? And they just drafted another forward in Corey Kispert. So I'm interested, and I didn't really like the move to begin with until they made the Spencer Dinwiddie deal and brought him in. And I was like, oh, okay, like this makes way more sense now, because they had all this talent kind of stacked at the forward, which is not like the worst place to have your talent. Like that's a position of need for every single team. But I just was curious what it would look like ultimately. So they have lots of guys now, maybe too many guys. But I could argue that maybe this is not a bad year to have too many guys, as this is our first season trying to get back on the NBA schedule, where it's still like it was squeezed in the schedule, and then hopefully things feel normal after this year. So maybe not the worst year to have, quote unquote, too many guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone talked about last year's shortened offseason, and people are like, oh, we're getting back to the schedule at the start of this year. It's like, yeah, we're going to have another shortened offseason in order to get back to the schedule. Trust me, I know. I checked my vacation time. It's not long. So there's another shortened offseason, and I get that last year's schedule was scrunched as well, which played a big part in it. But, I mean, this one's 82 games instead of 72, so that's going to play a factor as well. Yes. On top of that, we are very much not out of the pandemic. I mean, they just at Summer League had a game that was postponed because they had positive cases on their team. Mm-hmm. So that's just, this is, I'm with you. This is, if last year was the year to have too many guys, this year is also the year to have too many guys. That said, let's say opening day, everybody's safe for Thomas Bryant because he's probably going to miss the beginning of the season, still recovering from his ACL. Let's say everybody's healthy opening day, save for Bryant. I mean, you're right. There's someone who, when you just look at it, when I give you a name, you'll say, yeah, that guy probably gets rotation minutes. There's someone who is going to get 0 minutes because you can't play a 12-man rotation. It's just not going to happen. And you look at all the forwards, you name some of them. I mean, I think Hachimura will probably start at the four.
Yeah.
You got Kuzma. You got Avdia. You got Bertans, who's on year two of a 5-year deal, and they're going to have to give minutes to. Avdia, they drafted in the first round last year. Hachimura, they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. Kuzma is maybe the best, is the best two-way guy out of all those guys.
Yeah.
Kispert, they drafted in the first round this year. I mean, that's five guys. And by the way, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is going to have to play a good amount of three, because you didn't acquire Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as the best 3-and-D guy you've had on your roster in years. You didn't acquire him just to play 12 minutes a game as a backup too. He's going to have to play a consequential amount of minutes next to Bradley Beal, which means he's going to have to play the three. And all right, I mean, that's fine. No problem there. I mean, he's better against guarding guards than he is against big wings, but you can match those minutes up so they work. And if he has to play some minutes against big wings, you know, so be it. He plays hard. He fights hard. He's a good defender. He shoots the three well. Like, that's fine. I have no problem with that. The thing is, now, that's even fewer minutes at the two forward positions. You only get 96 minutes. If Hachimura is going to get 30 of them and KCP is going to get like 18 of them there, and then maybe another 12 at shooting guard. Well, now you got 48 minutes at forward that you got to find for Bertans, for Avdija, you know, for Kispert. Like, someone here is not going to be playing. They still got Neto. They've got Aaron Holiday. They've got a lot of guys. They've got a lot of guys. And that's fine. It's a good problem to have, as long as you can finesse the locker room in the proper way, and also finesse the development of your young guys in the proper way. Cause what you don't really want is Avdija just not playing at all. Yeah. And what you don't really want is Kispert not playing at all. And maybe they spend time in the G League. But you know, I have to imagine that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really difficult. I don't know how it's going to go. I just don't. I think about it all the time, and I always land on different guys.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, I think their rotation misses like one or two ball handlers.
They could make a trade. I mean,
that's what I'm seeing. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at this roster, and there's guys like, as much as everybody doesn't like Davis Bertans' contract, like, the guy is one of the best shooters in the league, and I think lots of teams would like to have him. I think Denny Avdija is very intriguing as a prospect. You know, they could make a deal. Kuzma, you know, you could probably get a good player for him. And I think it would be a player for player trade. I think they need another ball handler, because you can play three ball handlers together. I don't know that you can necessarily play like three scoring forwards together, you know, all the time. So and when I look at this team, that's kind of what I think they need, is just another guy that can come in and handle the ball competently and shoot it.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. The problem is, I think there are a lot of teams that would like to have a player like that. I mean, you're right, though. You could do just like a team that needs a big wing who can play two ways. Yeah. And has one too many guards. You know, the inverse of the Wizards, basically. Just find the inverse of the Wizards and make that swap. And those deals are always more complicated than I'm making them out to be. But Kyle Kuzma's a nice player. If he were on the Wizards last year, he would have been their best perimeter defender. Mm-hmm. He can guard well. He can create his own shot. He can hit an open three. He's a good player. And he's on a fine enough contract, $13 million a year. Someone out there, a number of teams out there, like Kyle Kuzma, be willing to take him for something. It also doesn't have to be right away. You know, this could be a post December 15th trade, when almost everyone in the league is eligible to be traded, and you kind of just see how things play out. There's also this thing that we all do at the beginning of the year, where we talk about the most optimistic outlook for everything on a team, and then we're like, oh,
yeah.
They have too many guys. They have too many guys. Someone's going to come out there and have a bad year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone is that's just the way the world works. Someone is going to come out there, be out of shape, not the right mindset, get worse, just not play well for whatever the reason, and they're just not going to have a good year. I don't know who it's going to be. It's impossible to predict. But someone is going to come out there and be like, oh, you know, maybe Avdija will come back and take a step back, or Kispert won't be as good as they thought, or Bertans will have another down year again and regress even more, or whatever. Like, Hachimura won't develop in the way they want, so they don't feel like they have to give him 30 minutes. Like, somebody will come out there. Mm-hmm. It'll be someone. It's just always what happens. Someone always has a bad year. It's the way the world works. So it'll make it more easy to delineate, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what the rotation is going to be, when you kind of have that information and just let it play out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, last question. You think the Wizards are closer to a playoff team, like a firm playoff team, or you still think they're about where they finished last year, like in the play-in area?
The latter. The latter. I mean, even if you want to make the argument that they got better in the Westbrook trade, which I think they more are just kind of, I think it's more of a net even in the Westbrook trade.
Yeah, they got different in the Westbrook trade.
Exactly. The teams around them got better, though. I mean, if you look at the top of the East, you can't argue that they're going to be better than Philly, better than Brooklyn, better than Milwaukee, better than Miami. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can argue they're going to be better than Atlanta, who I assume is not going to start 14 and 20 again. I could see the Knicks taking a step back, but I don't see how they will be better than them.
Yeah.
Boston, absolutely everything went wrong for them, and they have no shooting at guard right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they brought in Josh Richardson. They re-signed Marcus Smart. They have Schroeder, and they have Chris Dunn, and those are their guards right now. And it's like none of those guys can shoot. Boston also has a chance at being – they were top five defense 2 years ago, and they have a chance at being a top five defense again this year. I mean, if you can play lineups with any of those two guards I just mentioned, Smart and Dunn or something like that, and then you can throw out Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford in there. Like, that is a defensive team. And then you've still got the other two guards. You got Schroeder out there, and you've got Robert Williams, backup center. I mean, there are a lot of guys who can defend on that team. I think they're going to be stifling, and I don't think they're going to be a contender or anything like that, but I think they'll be better than 500, which is where they were last year. I think Charlotte brought in better players. I also think it's somewhere between possible and extremely likely that LaMelo Ball just makes some huge jump. And he's not even their only really good young player. I think Miles Bridges is going to be a heck of a player too, and really came on at the end of last year. Chicago, at the expense of its own future, got better. Toronto doesn't have to play all of its games in Tampa and just go home miserable and on a lifelong business trip every single day, which I think is like the most under-discussed part of their season last year.
Yeah, for real.
There are just so many teams. Indiana got upgraded at coach and was one of the most injured teams in the league last year.
Yep.
There are just so many teams who in the East who I think legitimately either got better or were so far ahead of the Wizards that there's no way the Wizards are going to catch them in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I think it puts them in that play-in range once again. And again, I'm doing the thing that I just said that we all do, which is I'm giving the most optimistic outlook of everything. Yeah, LaMelo Ball shows up, and he's the league MVP, and Miles Bridges turns into Kobe Bryant. And, you know, then Charlotte wins. Charlotte goes 83 and negative one, and they win the title. But I actually think a lot of these things, like Chicago will be better. They'll be better.
Yeah. Yeah,
imagine if they weren't. Imagine what will happen to that organization if they're worse. I mean, they'll be better.
Everybody's fired if they're not.
Right. They'll do everything they can to be better.
Yeah.
Charlotte just has to be better. I just have to imagine that team.
They'll be
is going to be better. Indiana just kind of has to be. So I really think this is the most likely of you know, in a lot of these cases that these teams are going to improve, and that's going to make life tough for the Wizards in the East.
Yeah, and one of the hopes for the Wizards is that they don't have such a yin and yang type of season where you can just be like a steady, fine team all year and not have to have go on like this crazy run at the end just to sneak into the play-in. You hope to just be in the 8, 9, 10 range just the whole time. I mean, that's to me, because I just don't know if they, because Russ has that gear in him. He obviously had that gear in him. I think if they get behind to start the season, that like it's going to be tough because I don't know that anybody else has that kind of gear in them next to Beal. But
yeah, for sure. There's no question. I mean, look, you can't rely on a 17-6 finish every year to save you.
Yeah,
you just not good business.
No, Fred, thanks so much for coming on. Enjoy late August. Enjoy all the festivities that will be included in the next few weeks for you. We appreciate you coming on. Go listen to Wizards After Dark if you need more Wizards content. And read everything Fred Katz does on The Athletic. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Hey,
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.